Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm Jessica Campbell, and stories are my passion. It's my honor to host this podcast where real women share real stories of real hope. Each episode features one woman sharing her personal story with you. Too often, we fall into the traps of comparison and judgment, but what if we took the time to hear each other's real stories? Let's remember that we all have a story, and our stories matter. We're so glad you've joined us on this podcast journey. May you find hope and encouragement in this episode's story. Hi, ladies, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Story Night podcast. If this is your first time finding us, welcome. We are so glad you're here. If you check out episode 46, you can hear all about the history and purpose and vision of Story Night. And for those of you who've been with us a while, you know we have women from all different backgrounds, lifestyles, all different experiences coming onto this podcast to share their stories. Some are really lighthearted, some are really heavy, but they're all shared with the intention to bring hope and encouragement and build community. Now, my guest for this episode is really special for a couple of reasons. First of all, she is our youngest guest ever on either of the Story Night podcasts. So I'm so excited. We have a teenager joining us for this particular episode. And if you heard our previous episode with Lisa, you heard Lisa talk about having a foreign exchange student named Ray. And as I said in that last episode, we get to meet Ray for this episode, and she's going to tell us her story, which is very exciting. Another reason this is a really special episode is because normally we are focusing on the stories of our local women who live in and around McMinnville, Oregon. Now, Ray lives here right now, but this is not her home state, let alone her home country. And so we get to have a kind of a half local girl, but half a foreign visitor for this particular episode, which is going to be really fun. And I'm excited to hear this particular story. I know that, Ray, you've only lived 17 years so far, so there's a lot more to your story that will be written in the future. But thank you for being willing to come on here and share with us. And I want to start, first of all, with your name. So we call you Ray, but what is your correct name?
Well, it's Rarat. That's how I pronounce it. It's an Arabic name. And I have done programs with other people from different countries in my country. They come to Tunisia to learn, and it's clubs and all. So most people from different countries that don't speak Arabic, they cannot pronounce my name. So they just decided to call me Ray, the first two letters of my name. And then they just added an E, and that sounds fun with me. So yeah.
And it stuck.
True.
Absolutely. And you mentioned in that introduction that you are from Tunisia, mm-hmm. right? And so we want to start there with where you were born in Tunisia and about your childhood. And I probably have so many questions because there are certainly lots of differences from the first 16, 17 years of your life and then what it's been like here visiting mm-hmm. Oregon in the United States of America.
Okay. So as I said, my name is Ray and I'm from Tunisia, specifically from a city called Sfax. Well, we call it Sfax in Tunisia, but Sfax for other people. And I've lived there my whole life, I think, and until I decided to do this exchange year here in Oregon, the US.
Amazing. And so for anybody who is a little rusty on their geography and listening and trying to remember, where is Tunisia on the globe? Can you paint that picture for us?
Well, Tunisia is in North Africa, literally so close to Italy, to Sicily specifically. And yes, my city is on the coast. I have three other siblings. The oldest one she's a teacher. She's 28 years old. The second one is 23 years old. She's a nurse. And then me and then my little brother, he's 11. And I lived with them my whole life again until I did this exchange year. And also my sister, the nurse, she went to Germany too. So it's two kids away from home.
Is that hard for your parents to have you so far away?
Well, yes, for sure. I miss them. They miss me too. But, it's life.
Absolutely.
Yes. For my childhood, it was like really, really peaceful. I love it. I love all the memories I made. I was a bit of a nerd, like focusing on school all the time, but that didn't like actually take away like all the memories from me. I used like to go outside with my friends all the time, literally since I was a kid, even now.
And as you and your brother and sisters were growing up, were there favorite sports or hobbies or activities for you that you did a lot?
I would say we do love swimming together all the time. We do cooking together. That's our favorite because my oldest sister, she likes cooking. Yeah. So we have fun doing that together, but mainly swimming together. That's the one we all enjoy.
Yeah. And now you talked about being a quote unquote nerd. So is the school system set up similarly?
Well, it is different, way different, I would say. Kindergarten part and then elementary school is the same everywhere. But the education system, I would say, is a bit harder, even for kids, not only for like high school. So, yeah.
Like higher standards?
True, yes. Like, I think they now changed it at like second year of elementary school. You should learn French. You'll start learning another language.
Wow. So, and that's just standard. Like everybody at that age starts learning a second language.
Well, yes, but it's not like, I won't say it's like a main, it's like not, I mean, strict learning or something. You just start learning it. But at like fifth grade, I think, you'll start actually learning it.
So it's kind of introduced.
Yes.
In that second year of elementary school, but then you really start learning how to be fluent in that language. And so then do you speak Arabic and French also?
I do, yeah. I speak English and also I'm working on my fourth, which is Italian.
Wow. I'm always so impressed with people that can do that. It seems like people I meet can either barely do one language or they can speak like five. Like if you've got that something in your brain that's able to connect to all these different languages and pick it up real quickly.
True.
Which is amazing. Do you have a favorite language?
Favorite language? Ooh, I mean, I don't have any, but like I would say I love all languages. That's why I try my best to learn as many languages as I can. For like French, it's the second language in Tunisia. People use it all the time. Wow. Like we have like a lot of French words in our daily life. And also my father is a French teacher and my older sister too, she's a French teacher. So
that's amazing. I didn't realize there was so much of French influence, especially with the language in Tunisia.
I mean, the language in Tunisia is like a mix of five languages at least.
Wow.
So yeah.
What are the other languages that you hear a lot?
It's like mainly Arabic mixed with French, Spanish, Italian, Hebrew maybe. There's like many, many different words. People don't realize they are not like Arabic words. They are from different languages. It's in our lives. And I would say it reflects the rich history of Tunisia, like back to trade and...
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Speaking of the history of Tunisia, again, for anybody listening who hasn't been in school for a very long time and probably a little rusty on their history, can you give us a little overview of the country itself?
Okay, for the history of Tunisia, it's really a rich history that goes back to 3,000 years ago. We started first with Carthage, which is a really strong empire that even fought Rome. And then came, I would say, the Romans after the Carthage falls down. And then we had Arabs. They came bringing the language and traditions, maybe a little bit. And then came French people. They ruled there until Tunisia gets its independence on 1956. And then that's it. Yeah. That's Tunisia now.
Well, and hence the French language coming in pretty strongly.
Yes, it's the second language. Also, we study in school like mathematics, physics, chemistry, all in French.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go through all of your early childhood years and schooling. And then at that point, do you have like what we would call high school? Would that be secondary education?
Yes, elementary school, then middle school, and then high school. And for high school, the first year we studied like all subjects, all classes. And for the second year of high school, you get to choose your specific track. Like it can be maths, it can be economics, it can be whatever you like. And you mainly focus on the most important classes.
And so then what did you choose to focus on?
I mean, I want to be an aerospace engineer. So math track was the best option for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. an aerospace engineer. This is so fun. We're going to have to have you come back in, I don't know, 5, 10, 20 years and do a sequel episode to hear what happened with your life. Now, as you were thinking about this exchange program, what drew you to that and how did you land in McMinnville, Oregon?
Well, for the exchange year in general, I applied for the YES program, it's Kennedy Luger Exchange and Study Program. I applied just for fun. I won't say I applied because I really wanted to. I just applied for fun. It sounded fun to me. And I also applied with one of my friends. He didn't want to apply alone. So I said, yeah, I'll apply with you. Yes, I applied. And then I got accepted for the next stage, which is an interview, online one. Got accepted and invited for more interviews, group activities, English test, and everything. And then when I got accepted as a finalist, they placed us with placement organizations. Mine is IUSA. And then the placement organization starts looking for like host families who are willing to host foreign exchange students. So mine hosted me. And when I got the report, like the placement report, it was during my finals, I think. And I was like, I just saw the notification on my phone. I was like, okay, that's nice. That's cool. I didn't actually pay attention. But when my finals were done, I reread the email again and I was like, wow, it's actually happening. I made it. I found a host family. And I was like the first one to get the placement report for the YES kids in Tunisia, which was weird. That's why I didn't pay attention. I was like, okay, fine. But yes, then I didn't know my life would actually go this way.
Right. And you came to McMinnville in August, correct?
Yes, last day of August.
Is it a 12-month stay?
I would say 10 months.
10 months that you get to be here?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And so you're over halfway through your stay.
Mm-hmm.
Had you ever been to America before?
No.
So this was brand new. Mm-hmm. And you fly into presumably Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lisa and her husband came to pick you up?
Yes. Well, we had an orientation in Washington, D.C. for like 3 days before actually coming here to let us know about what to expect, the differences, to be ready and all. Yes.
Oh, I'm so curious. So what did they tell you when you arrived in Washington, D.C. that would be super different about America?
I mean, they told us it's like way different than what we are used to. They mainly focused on teaching us how to deal with the differences. Like they told us something that I still remember. It's not better, not worse. It's just different. I still remember that every time I see something way different. So, yes.
And what were some of your big surprises where you went, oh my gosh, that is super different?
Well, I would say the first thing I noticed was the big trucks, pickup trucks. Seriously, in Tunisia, we drive like small cars. It's not like this pickup truck is not so huge. So that was the first thing that it was like surprised me. For sure, the education system, it's way, way different. It's like more about like the social life of students rather than the academic side.
Because now you're attending our local high school, mm-hmm. right? And so that's a big change in the setup of the day and what their focus is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Especially like you get to choose your own classes. Sounds good because we don't do that in Tunisia. If you are a math student, you have specific classes you have to take and you cannot change. Also here, it's like, as I told you, it's more like about the social life of students. Like you'll get to work a lot with other students for group projects and yeah. Something different here, I would say social life in the US is like home-centered. Like if you want to go out with your friends, you just want to get coffee, you just drive through, get your coffee and go back home. In Tunisia, it's like more like outside, like public places. If you want to go out, you go with your friends to a coffee shop, you stay there for hours playing cards, talking, we walk in the streets, we do like all different things outside.
Yeah, I'm curious about the use of technology. Do you feel like teenagers in Tunisia are just glued to their phones also, or is that more of an American thing?
I would say yes, there is. Like Tunisians are more like, I don't explain it, but they do not use their phones the way people in here do. Because like, as I told you, our social life is like more outside and we just have like a lot of friends, so.
And what about sports? Do you see a big change here on what people are interested in, how many people are involved, are participating?
Oh, yes. Like the main sport in Tunisia, which everyone likes, literally every Tunisian likes, is soccer, which we call football, by the way. Yeah. We don't call soccer. That's way different. That's, I don't know, the culture shock.
Yeah. You come here and it's like, wait, that's not football.
Yes. And also like sports in American high schools are really fun because American high school actually take it seriously, which is fun. In Tunisia, if you want to do a sport, you just do it on your own outside of school. So.
Oh, interesting. So it's not part of, it's not a school team.
No. We have like a local team. If the city or place you live in, they have like a team and you can join. So you do it on your own.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now what about, just I'm thinking of all the things that make high school, right? Like the dances. And you know, here in America, there's usually a homecoming dance, a winter formal dance, a prom. I mean, different schools have different names for them, but these dances where sometimes kids go as groups, sometimes they go with a date, get all dressed up.
Well, no, we do not do that in Tunisia. We have one only for seniors. Well, you can join if you're not a senior, but it's mainly for seniors. And for the dances, they do it on their own too. Like students decide when to do it, if they want to do it or not, and people just join.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So it's not put on, again, not put on by the school and organized by the school.
No, the school in Tunisia, I would say, is like more focused on the academic side. Mm-hmm. That's the main job for schools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With everyone being so focused on academics, if there are students that are struggling in some way, you know, with a subject that's really challenging for them, or maybe there's even a learning disability or something that's making it very hard to do well in school or a subject. How does the Tunisian education system respond to that?
Well, it responds with like private classes. We do have them a lot in Tunisia, and it depends on what you exactly need. Like if you don't understand what happened in class, a teacher will just explain it to you. If you have another way of learning, the teacher will help you with that too. So it's like the teacher helps you with everything.
When you came here, did you feel like it was pretty easy to make friends and create a social group?
Well, yes. At first, for sure, I made a lot of friends with other exchange students because we were all on the same wavelength, like exchange student new here. But after like 3-2 weeks, I made like friends from the US and they were really nice. They are super, super nice. Actually, I would say they are incredible, truly. Yeah. They made me like they invited me. They made me feel like I belong in here. It's really wonderful.
I love hearing that because there are a lot of people, a lot of women come on this podcast and they share their stories of their teenage years. And a lot of them had hard teenage years. They might have been bullied or felt excluded or dealt with loneliness or depression or anxiety. Just a lot of the things that, sadly, a lot of preteens and teenagers are going through during their school years. And so it's nice to hear that as you came here, you felt welcomed and included.
True, yes. Yeah. I would say also like since the American education system gives you the chance to actually make friends easily. Group projects, they do it a lot, way more than we do it in Tunisia. So it's actually so easy to make friends. And also like clubs, school clubs gives you big chance to make friends, which is really fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Outside of school and teen life, was there anything that you were really interested in experiencing that's specifically American?
I don't explain it, but life in Tunisia was peaceful. It made sense. Seriously, it made sense. Everything was clear. It was defined. Everything is predictable. You know what exactly is going to happen in your life. So I wanted like something new to step out of everything that was familiar for me. And I was like, what life will be if I actually step from and go away from my comfort zone? And I did this exchange year. And when I know like it was the US and all, I was like, yes, I would like to see Thanksgiving, how they do it. Because like I saw a lot of movies and it sounds so cool, like families and the turkey. So I was like, wow, I really want to experience that. My host family was like super, super nice with that. Before Thanksgiving, we did Friendsgiving. They invited their friends and I invited my other exchange student friends. They also, all of them brought like a dish from that country. We had, yes, Indonesia, we had Turkey, we had Mexico and Tunisia for sure. And yes, I helped make the turkey and all the things, which is really fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something very different, right? Because presumably maybe a turkey is not a normal meal.
Yes, I mean, we have it in Tunisia, but we don't actually like do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what about, speaking of holidays, have there been other big holiday traditions or experiences here that were just completely different from your culture at home?
I would say also like Thanksgiving, which I really love. I love it so much. And then Christmas. Christmas is, here Americans take it seriously. Like the decorations, their houses, all the things. It's really cool. I love it so much. It sounds like so nice for me. So yeah. Well, I would say Christmas in Tunisia, we don't actually celebrate it as like a tradition, because the religion in my country is, the majority are Muslims. We don't celebrate Christmas due to religious reasons, but you would see Christmas trees, all the decorations in shops and malls, because, you know, we have like people who work in Tunisia from different countries that celebrate Christmas, and the malls would like let them feel included, so they put Christmas trees on things. You would actually see it. We also have like Christians in Tunisia. They have like, they decorate the church, the trees, and I love when they sing, which is really sweet. Yeah.
Yes, Christmas music is beautiful. I think most people, no matter what, appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And now, as you talked about the food for Thanksgiving, food in general, was there a particular food that you got to try when you came here that was just shocking and unusual?
I mean, all the food here is different. Well, the turkey with the stuffing, I don't think I had that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The seafood here, it's way different than our seafood. I don't explain it. Like, seafood in Tunisia sounds like, I don't know, tastes like seafood.
Like you can taste the ocean more?
Yes. It's like fresh and we get it like every day.
Yeah.
So it's, and also the Mediterranean Sea, you know, we get it like fresh seafood all day long.
Amazing.
Yes.
And so if somebody was listening and they said, I really want to go visit Tunisia, where should they go? What do they, if they had, I don't know, if they had 1 week in Tunisia, what would they absolutely have to go see or eat or experience?
1 week in Tunisia can actually is enough to let you go all over Tunisia. And trust me, Tunisia is worth visiting. Like every corner in Tunisia worth visiting. So I'll recommend going to all the places. First, let's start with cities on the coast because they have very unique vibes. So yes, every place. If you are like a Star Wars fan, you can go see where Star Wars was filmed in Tunisia.
Really?
Yes, you can go dirt biking and then see where Star Wars was filmed, which is really, really fun. If you are into swimming and like good food, you should go to any city on the coast in Tunisia. We'll get you that. You can go to Qlibia and actually you can see Italy with your own eyes. You just go swimming and see Italy in front of you. So
yeah, again, if you're not traveling the world regularly, sometimes you don't realize just geographically how close some of these countries are to each other.
True, yeah. Literally any place, any corner in Tunisia is worth visiting. You can see places that go back to 3,000 years ago. You can touch them. You can just sit there and imagine how life was before. It's really fantastic. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, as you're looking ahead,
yeah,
when you go back to Tunisia, you'll finish high school. And then what?
I would say that I would love to go to MIT, the university. It's just my dream university. I hope I get accepted. I would like to be an aerospace engineer and then make money and travel all over the world. That's my dream. Literally, since I came here, it's made me more like into exploring all the cultures.
Yeah.
Made me feel like how the world is so small. Yeah. And the right thing to do is just travel. I would recommend just traveling.
Where have you already traveled?
This is my first travel outside of Tunisia. But
really?
Yes.
With so many other countries so close to Tunisia, you hadn't gone to Italy or any of these other African countries?
No, I did not get the chance to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting. So the first time you leave Tunisia is like really all the way on the other side
True.
Of the world.
Yeah, but since I made a lot of connections with other exchange students, I was planning with them to visit each other. Probably, I hope so, this summer I can go to Turkey and visit one of my closest friends.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other exchange students specifically from Tunisia here in Oregon?
Well, in Oregon, yes, we do. We do have one. She's currently in Lafayette.
Oh, okay, so you have one other like close by.
Yes. She was in Washington. Now she came here. She's new to Oregon. So hopefully she can experience it all of it.
And how many other exchange students are at our local high school right now with you?
I would say 17, 18. I don't know the number exactly, yeah. But we have like a lot of exchange students. Spain, Mexico, Tunisia, Turkey, Indonesia. We have like Italy too. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be so fun because just think of being 16, 17, 18 years old and you get to meet all of these new friends from all over the world and then just plan these trips and go visit.
I would say one of the best things I liked about the ES program, like even before coming to the US, I really made a lot of friends with the ES students from Tunisia. They're incredible. Like even now we call each other every day, not in dramatic way, but we just share our everyday stories. Literally, that's what we do every day. We have a group chat on Instagram. We call each other all day long. Also, like, this is before coming to the US, and after I made a lot of friends from different countries, I expected to make friends with only local Americans, but there I am. I'm exposed to all the cultures.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So go back, hopefully go to MIT, right? Sure. Aerospace engineer, traveling the world.
Mm-hmm. That's the dream. That's the goal.
That's amazing.
Yes.
As you look back over your time here in America so far, are there any key moments or challenges that led to personal growth or just experiences on how you are seeing yourself and your country and the world?
Well, for the challenges, I would say the US is so diverse in every possible way. Like, it's so diverse. One thing I would say that changed in me is, like, back home, I used to like to see things in a black and white terms. Like, I thought, like, always being right is the most important thing, and I don't get the chance to actually understand what's happening underneath all that. Since I came here with, like, conversations with different people, different countries, I was, like, I just noticed and realized how, like, limited my perspective is. So that changed in me, and I'm super proud that it changed. Now, for now, I try to understand, like, the emotional layer behind everything, literally everything, even like behind every conversation, behind every perspective, every opinion. I just don't try to say if it's wrong or if it's right. I just see what made people think this way. So that thing changed in me. And I would say if I stayed in my home country, it's something I won't actually realize. So I'm happy I realized that at a very young age, and it made life better. Honestly.
Absolutely. And what you just mentioned is really one of the foundational pillars of Story Night, is this idea that we really don't know people until we take time to hear their stories and understand them. And to your point, not necessarily to tell them they're wrong or they're right or to agree or disagree, but just to get to know someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
It is.
And it makes you see the world very, very differently. And that lady that might have been really, really rude to you, you can take a step back and think, what's going on in her life? Something might have happened, you know, or this person believes very differently than I do. Why? Where did that belief come from? Where did my belief come from? Can I still get to know this person? Can we still build a bridge? Is there anything that can keep us connected?
True, yes. And I also like learned how to see, like, observe the shared humanity between us without erasing our differences. Literally, that's another thing that I'm really proud of, like, realizing and discovering.
It is a beautiful thing. And when I listen to stories from women who have come from all different places and backgrounds, but there is still this common thread. Mm-hmm. You can see where you can find yourself in somebody else's story, even if that story comes from a completely different culture, completely different country, completely different background. You can always find at least one bridge.
Yes, it's a humanity for me. I see a humanity in every other person, no matter the country. It's not about flags or passports. It's like being an exchange student feels like a global citizen, not like from specific country. And you always think, oh my God, that's from a country. That's another human. They're not another humans. They are people. You just have to understand. That's it.
Yeah.
Find a common ground.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Well, Ray, thank you for being willing to talk about the first 17 years of your life mm-hmm. and getting to come to America on this exchange program. And ladies, for anybody who's curious about all of this, I'll put links in the episode notes if you want to understand more about what Ray's talking about. Maybe you want to be a host family in some way, or you may have a teenager in your life who might be curious mm-hmm. to be an exchange student, maybe go visit another country.
It's literally like not going to the country, staying in your house and bringing the country to you. Like your exchange, if you are hosting, like planning to host an exchange student, you just be ready that they will bring another culture with them, which is really fun. They can cook for you. They can tell you simple things, which is really fun. I really found it fun, like especially when like what's normal for me is not normal for my host family. And what's normal for them is not normal for me. It's really fun.
That is incredible. Mm-hmm. Well, I always close our episodes by asking the speaker to give some words of encouragement to the listeners. And I think you've kind of embedded that a bit in your story. But I'm even thinking of especially younger girls who might be listening, mm-hmm. right? Is there anything you would want to tell them?
I will tell them if you are planning to do an exchange year, just do it. Literally, just do it. That's my biggest advice for like teenagers and younger girls. Just do it. You can do it in high school. You can do it in university. You can do it whenever you want.
And it sounds like you would encourage the ladies listening to accept exchange students
True.
And be a host mom.
Yes.
It was a good experience for you, it sounds.
It was. Yes, it is. It is going very, very well. Way more than expected. Well, I didn't set any expectations, but it's going perfectly, literally.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And for those ladies who are brand new to Story Night, we want you to know that in addition to this podcast, we have 4 live events each year. Our next one is coming up on April 30th. It's going to be at the Shehalem Cultural Center in Newburgh because our numbers just keep growing. And so now we need to move to a bigger space to host more women. These events are a chance to have a girls' night out, and we have appetizers and beverages and prizes and hundreds of women all around roundtables getting to know each other and socializing and just building community. And then one woman will tell her life story. Our speaker for April 30th is Lindsay Cooper, and she has an incredibly inspirational story. You don't want to miss it. You can get your free ticket for those of you who are within driving distance of Newburgh, Oregon. You can get a free ticket on our website, storynighthope.com. And I'm going to guess that both Lisa and Ray will be at that one. And so you can meet them in person, which would be super fun. There will also be plenty of our previous podcast speakers there live as well. If you happen to be listening to this episode after April 30th, 2026, still go on our website so you can see what event we have coming up next and get tickets to that one. And I mentioned at the beginning of this episode that you could check out episode number 46 to hear about the history, vision, and purpose of Story Night. Well, part of our vision is to grow Story Night to other communities. And so, Ray, if you share this episode with all of your foreign exchange student friends, if anyone is listening to this in another country or even another state and thinking, gosh, that would be cool. Could we have something similar to Story Night in our community? Then please reach out to us. It would be so fun to grow this across the nation and even globally so more women can tell more stories of more hope. Now, none of this could be made possible without the support of some incredible local businesses. And we want to give a huge thank you to our 2026 headline sponsoring business, Gray's Craze. They have amazing crafted charcuterie boards and boxes and just an incredible heart for our community. And their support is fueling the mission behind Story Night in such a powerful way. Now, if you want to know even a little bit more, the owner of our local Gray's Craze is Jennifer Richter, and you can hear her story on episode 28. And listeners, if you have felt touched or encouraged by Story Night in any way and would like to help us further this mission and this outreach to bring more stories of encouragement to more women, then you could make a tax-deductible donation also of any amount. Even $5 or $10 helps us to keep these events free, helps us to record these podcast episodes and get them shared all over. We actually do have listeners from all over the world, even though it's based here in McMinnville, Oregon. And there is a link in the episode notes where you can check out more, follow us on social media, check out our website, or make a donation. Well, Ray, thank you so much for being willing to do this and coming to tell a little bit of your story and your experience here.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm really happy I get this chance. And I'm really happy and so grateful for all the effort you're doing. This is really nice. This is really awesome. And good luck.
Thank you so much. I hope that you make another trip out to Oregon someday in the future and we'll get to reconnect with you.
Yeah, for sure. I will do that.
I love it. Oh, well, thank you again, Ray. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. We hope that you were blessed and encouraged, maybe inspired to do a little traveling or a little hosting, and that you come back and join us next time for our next story. Until then, remember, you have a story, your story matters, and you are not alone.